Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Consider it pure joy. I don't know how many times when I first read that, I thought, Lord, I can't come to a point to where I can consider this joy, that I can be joyful in my trial that I'm going through right now. And you start reading the scripture and you're really starting to see what it's saying. But he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome aboard, truth seekers. Welcome to another week with Truth Infusion Ministries, and excited about what God's doing in the ministry, and really excited about what He's doing with this radio show today and this series that we're in. Got my brother-in-law, brother-in-arms.
Amen.
Chuck Mansell is in the studio with us. I hope you were here last week, because we began a teaching series that Chuck and I have entitled The Struggling Christian. And that is not a pejorative when we say it that way. And what I mean by that is we're not trying to be negative when we say,
right,
you're a struggling Christian. That's not what this series is about. This series is about looking at the fact,
the reality,
that if you're a child of God, God will make sure,
that's right,
even if we're doing a good job of keeping our life out of sin's way and we're not living a lifestyle of sin, because that brings a whole different kind of struggle and a whole different teaching series.
Amen.
We're not talking about that struggle so much. We're talking about the fact that the best among us are going to have struggles in their Christian walk, and God uses struggle for so many different reasons,
right,
to grow and develop us. But last week, Chuck and I spent the whole show discussing struggle on a different level, discussing why do we struggle before we even get saved.
Amen.
And give them just a brief little 1.5 minute synopsis of what we said last week, Chuck.
Right.
And then we'll pray and we'll get into the topic matter for today.
Basically, struggles before our salvation is, and you know, once if you take a second to really look back on your life, you can say, wow, how true is that? But, you know, we struggle before our salvation so we can get to a point in our life that we recognize our need for a Savior. Odds are, you know, unfortunate, it's through struggles, hardships, trials, and tribulations in our life that we come to a point that we see that, hey, I need God. I need a Savior. Because had we not been through the things that we'd been through, we would have never got to a point.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's through brokenness.
Yeah.
So it's through our brokenness that we finally recognize, hey, I need help.
God uses struggle to help us get over ourselves.
That's right. and put our eyes where it needs to be, on the
right
cross, on Christ.
And I would even, Chuck, if you think I'm a little off base on this, then feel free to say so. But I even think that the truth is, there is no salvation until God brings us to that broken place.
That's right. And I agree with that 100%.
It's not just that most people come through the door of struggle. No. Look, there's got to be some turmoil that brings you to a place where you say, I can't do this anymore.
That's right. Because the exact reason for that is that you say, I can't, because you take it off of yourself and you finally place your eyes on a Savior, on something,
on the deliverer,
you know, other than yourself.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
So that was last week's show. And if you need more than that, then please go to truthinfusion.com. It may not even be for you, but maybe there's a loved one, a kid that you're struggling with in your home, or a co-worker, somebody that may need to hear this. Take them to truthinfusion.com, to the radio page, and they can stream and listen to that last week's show from right there. Okay, so let's pray real quick, and then we're going to move from before salvation to now you're saved, and begin to look at some of the struggles that happen in a lot of ways almost immediately.
Amen.
After salvation.
Amen.
They're real and they're true, so what are they all about? Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you're not some God that sits afar off, way out there in the cosmos somewhere, and doesn't care what's going on down here on earth. But Lord, you are such a personal, Father. I mean, that's the word in the New Testament that we see you called over and over and over. You are Father to us. And Lord, Chuck and I both got our own kids, Lord. We know what it means. You're intimately and personally involved with every part of our life. And Lord, you know what this struggle is all about. You brought struggle. You craft it and you create it into our life. And because we know you love us, because you're our Father, it's there for a reason. So Lord, help us to take these scripture we're going to look at today, some really important word, and to divide it correctly. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to make this right so that the listeners and even Chuck and myself, as we look at this and talk about this, will be infused with the truth.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let me set this up, and then I'm going to kick this over to you and let you teach a little bit, Chuck. Because really this teaching is coming out of a sermon series or sermon lesson that God gave Chuck. And what we want to talk about today is the fact that God uses difficult times and hardship, and we're calling them struggles in this sermon series, this teaching series, but you can label it a bunch of different ways: trials, right, tribulations, struggles, complications in life, circumstances. He uses those things as tools and mechanisms to make us grow and develop.
Amen.
As Christians.
Amen.
And so I'll just kick that over to you and kind of show us what the Lord showed you as you were kind of picking up on this
right through
Him.
You know, the whole purpose of me even starting to study on struggles is because it's real and everybody does it.
That's right.
Everyone struggles. Everyone goes through trials and tribulations in their life. And you know, everyone wants to know what's the reasons behind it. Like we shared last week, you know, our trials and tribulations before our salvation came so we can get to a point where we recognize we need a Savior. So why do you continue to struggle after your salvation?
Yes.
Even after you've gotten to the place to where you say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need Christ to be Christ in my life. And so at that point in time, God fills you with the power of the Holy Spirit. You now are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God living within you as a child of God. So why do you continue to struggle? Well, you continue to struggle on in life because here's the truth, David. When we come to our salvation, we are Christians who are weak.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of areas in our life that God has to reveal to us the truth where our weakness is concerned.
Yeah.
And the only way for us to be strong in any area of our life as a Christian is if we go through things in order to strengthen us.
Sure.
And, you know, that's what the Word of God's telling us in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6. And I want to read that real quick. And it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And then he gives you a reason to why you have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He said, "These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine." So this is the thing. You know, we go through things. I can sit here and claim to have faith in God and in any one area of my life, but if I never went through anything to test the faith that I claim to have, is it faith at all? So I can say I have faith in God in a circumstance. Yes, Lord. But if I never went through anything to test that faith,
sure,
it would not be faith. It would just be mere words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So God allows us to go through things in order to strengthen us in any one area. And here's the thing. When we overcome a certain area of our life, no matter what that is, we could fill in the blank with a million different things. We're stronger after the other side of that storm than we were before we went through it.
Absolutely.
And it continues on. Not to say you won't ever struggle in that certain area, whatever that area may be, again, because you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order for God to use you, He has to strengthen you.
Yeah.
He cannot use, you know, you got to went through it in order to be able to share with someone else. So God's going to use your struggles so later on to be able to share with someone else who's struggling the same struggle that you were struggling in. And that's biblical. But we're weak. And God says, child, I need you strong.
Yeah.
So I've got to put you through some things. And like you say all the time, He loves you enough to do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a lot of places in the Scripture where we're even referred to as babes at certain points.
Right.
Paul says it quite a bit.
Right.
Refers to us as babes, babies in the faith.
That's right.
And, you know, you've got, how old is Lydia now?
Six months old.
Mm-hmm. So you're really seeing a real life illustration of this being born out in this little girl. Beautiful little girl. Her hair sits at a 45 degree angle. She's gorgeous, but she is helpless.
That's right. Completely.
And she can do more now than she could. We were hanging out just the other night, and I got to see her eat, you know, whatever she was eating, some carrots or pears or something for the first time. But Angela, you know, your wife, my sister, sitting there, spoon feeding every bite.
That's right.
Cleaning her face she does it. And Paul, here's the point Paul's making. We come into this thing babies in the faith.
That's right.
We've been living life our own way for however long. How old were you when you got saved?
Me, 35.
35 years. You've been doing it your way for 35 years. And now all of a sudden, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. But we don't know how to live that way.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we sure don't know how to live by faith.
That's right.
That is so foreign of a concept. That's like throwing somebody in a foreign country and saying, speak the language. Okay, I don't even have a clue where to start.
Right.
So just like Peter's saying here and what we're saying is, okay, God's going to say, all right, here's how we're going to start. We're going to make things a little difficult here and there. God knows what we can handle.
That's right.
He's not trying to break our spirit. He's just trying to move us forward.
That's right. And if we can look at it that way, David, instead of, you know, a lot of people who go through trials and tribulations, if we can look at it as a strengthening process, if we can look at it as, you know, James talks about it, we can read that here in a second, but James gives kind of a clearer illustration of why we struggle and what's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if we can look at it that way, but that takes growth in itself to be able to come to a place in your walk that you can look at it and say, this is what I know. Faith, by its very nature, must be what?
Tested.
Must be tested and tried. By the very nature of,
sure,
of faith, it must be. And that's that sanctification that we go through. What do they say? You pull in the weeds and plant in the seeds. There's some things that's God's got to reveal to you through the power of the Spirit. He's got to reveal to you what's messed up in your life. And then he's got to allow you to go through some things so you can put, you know, Paul says you got to put them things off.
Yeah.
But if
I'm thinking about the baby, a little one, 1-year-old, 2-year-old that's got a hold of a toy and they want to keep that thing.
Right.
And you know, okay, now it's time to go to bed. We got to put the toys down. So you get a hold of, they're holding your, all of a sudden now there's this tug of war thing and they're doing the mine. And you're saying, no, give me that. You're the parent. You know, okay, you got to let that go.
Right.
They don't understand it's time to let it go. That's the way we do.
That's right.
As kids in the faith, babies in the faith, we're holding on to this stuff that we think is so important. And God's like, no, you got to put that down.
That's right.
And so we go through the struggle of him pulling stuff away from us. Another illustration I think about is you and I both played high school football.
Right.
And we go out for two-a-days. And, you know, anybody that somehow enjoyed two-a-days, I think, had a mental problem.
Right.
Because it was hard. It was hot. You got all these pads on. You're not in the shape that you need to be in. But the struggle of going through all that physical and mental difficulty is what
strengthens you.
Strengthens
That's
you
right.
as an individual player,
right.
as a team. And the growth comes because of all the pain
that's
you go
right.
through. And everybody that's listening is hearing exactly what we're talking about right here.
And the relating.
Yeah. Like, and so how many football teams, you have one football team that's gone through the 2 days and the practices and has gone through pre-district games and in the district games, and they come to the championship game, and then you take another team that hasn't even put the pads on until today. They put the pads on, run out on the field to play.
They're gonna get dealt with pretty severely.
No contest.
That's right.
Why? Because the one team has gone through it.
That's right.
And they've grown.
That's a good illustration.
Through the pain and the
Absolutely.
Struggle.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what Peter's talking about. Go ahead.
And you know, that's what God. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 48, I believe, 9 through, I'm gonna say 11. But God says this. He says, "I've refined you, but not as silver." He says, "I have tested you in the furnace of affliction."
Oh, wow.
In the furnace of affliction, that means, hey, there is nothing in this life, not one thing. It does not matter if we're talking spiritually or if we're talking in the physical. Nothing in life that we get stronger in any area unless we go through things in order to strengthen us. And that's just,
sure.
you know, so you can honestly take a look at it and you can see. I mean, if you're listening today, you can look at circumstances and situations in your life in the past, and you can honestly say that, you know, I've because of what I've went through, I am the person that I am today because of the struggle that I went through.
Yeah.
You know, the world says what don't kill me makes me stronger, but, you know, it's actual biblical.
That's scriptural.
That's absolutely.
Sure. Those words aren't in the Bible, but right. but it's taught over and over. It's obviously the truth of the word. Okay, there's some scripture in James that we kind of looked at before we got started. Is that where you're wanting to go next?
Yeah, let's. I just love I love the whole book of James, but you know, this is a passage that's going to be familiar with just about anybody listening. And it, again, it's talking about struggle, trials, and tribulations. And I love it because it relates to, I mean, basically what Peter was saying in 1 Peter.
Yeah, and it's very similar.
Very similar. And, you know, in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he says this, "Consider it pure joy." I don't know how many times when I first read that, I thought, Lord, I can't come to a point to where I can consider this joy, that I can be joyful yeah. in my trial that I'm going through right now. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to teach me how to do that.
Sure.
And you start reading this scripture, and you're really starting to see what it's saying. But he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Sound familiar? What we just read in 1 Peter? He says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So we know that the struggles that we go through, each and every time we struggle and we go through trials and tribulations, guys, I'm going to tell you something, it makes us stronger. And where we would have tapped out or given up beforehand in the past, we are stronger this time to keep going. And guess what, guys? Next time, you're going to be a little bit stronger than this time. And it's just that process. But that's because our Heavenly Father, our God, knows what it takes to strengthen His child. And when we see pain and struggles, we don't want to go through those. And odds are, if you would give us a choice, we would talk our way out of it. That's why I'm glad God didn't consult with me the things that I had to go through before my salvation to get me to the point to where I said, Jesus, because I promise you, David, I would have said, Lord, can we leave out a couple of
those? Right, there's a few things we could probably take out, guy.
Right.
It's true. I want to bring out this point. We've talked around this, but let's make this point true. The struggles, although, you know, God will change the struggles over time. In other words, what we struggle with at one point,
that's right,
at the beginning, you know, we come to a place where through the Holy Spirit, we win that victory.
Right, right.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that no struggle anymore. Okay, now it's on to the next point. Right. Because when I was looking at, where did I write this down? When it says that, speaks of you being complete.
Right.
That means the Greek, the better way to describe that, it means that all portions are now whole.
Right.
And so what that looks like to me is there's our lives made up of all these different compartments and different areas of our thought process in our lives. And you know, some areas we're just automatically stronger in than others, and some we're just downright weak
That's
in.
That's right, absolutely.
God knows all about that. We don't even know all about
That's
that.
That's right.
About ourselves. And so God has taken us through a process, one struggle, one moment at a time, to take all of the different portions, and so the end goal is that all the portions will be whole, that completedness
That's right.
will be there.
You know what I love about that is what you just said a while ago. It's that sanctification. It's that, you
yes,
know, God,
that's right.
We overcome that. Like, I don't struggle in addiction anymore. God delivered me from that. But you can best believe that as soon as you overcome one thing, God took away my mouth. I no longer cuss. But after that, something else comes.
Sure.
You know, you can't, you know, nowadays you're driving down the road, I can't even as much as throw a piece of paper out of my window because I get convicted mm-hmm. over that. But it's one struggle after you, when you have arrived at that certain area, like addiction, God delivers you from that. You no longer struggle with that. There's always going to be something else waiting. But praise God for that, you know?
Sure.
Praise God for that sanctification. Praise God that He reveals those things to you. And praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the strength to be able to put those things off, mm-hmm. to overcome those things. But it's a struggle, and it's going to continue to be a struggle for the rest of our life until we reach our glorified bodies. That's just what it is.
And so what James says at the beginning of this passage, and what Peter alluded to in his version of the same concept right here,
right,
was that we should have joy in this. And you said a second ago, how is that even possible?
Right.
Because we're talking about hard times, but God has commanded us in effect, because He said, count it all joy in this version that I'm looking at, And really what that's talking about is this joy is so complete, it's so real, it's so rich that there's no room for complaining.
That's right.
There's no room for a, you know, bad attitude.
Bitterness.
All
right.
Bitterness. This kind of joy is so big that it pushes all that stuff out.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
Complete joy. And this is what God's telling us to do. And I'm like you, man. There's a point in my life where I was like, how's that even possible?
Right, right.
And I love the way that you said that. God, you're going to have to teach me even how to do that. And you're right. Because that's a spiritual thing too,
absolutely,
learning how to do that. But here's what God gave me when I was studying and actually preached out of this same scripture right here. The truth is, after we've gone through these struggles a few times and we see what God's doing, we begin to realize that the outcome is worth it.
That's right. That's what you're being joyful for.
Yeah, you're being joyful because you realize, okay, yeah, I'm going through it right now, and
that's
God, I know you're in charge, and I know at the end of this, it's going to be on.
That's right.
But it's no fun right now, but I'm excited. But at the end of this, I'm going to be more like Christ.
Because you know what it's going to, exactly. Because you know in the process of this, he says, count all joy is not that you're enjoying what you're going to go through, but the outcome, you being more like Christ is so worth going through this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and I don't really like to, I say this in my head a lot, but the reality of it kind of scares me. I'm like, Lord, just break me a little bit more. He said, why?
Right.
Because, I mean, really praying that seems ridiculous, but just because exactly what we're talking about, because you know that in your brokenness, through that refinement, through God molding you, being the clay on the potter's wheel, knowing all that, going through all that, you are more and more like Christ. Are you willing to take up that cross? Are you willing to allow that burden to be on you, to be more and more like Christ? You know, as good as it makes us feel, David, to wake up today and feel like, or wake up in the morning and feel, you know, close to the Lord, and you're more like Christ today than what you was yesterday. But knowing that sometimes, somewhere along in this day, that God's going to do something that's not going to feel too good. But even in the midst of that something, you know, it's the reflection of it is Jesus Christ. And are you willing to, is it worth it to you? You know, that's the thing you got to say. Is it worth it? Are these struggles worth being closer and more like my Savior, Jesus Christ?
Yeah. And the farther he takes us into the process, you know, he's changing everything about us. And we do start to see it that way. So that somewhere in the back of our mind, there's this silent prayer that's saying, if I got to go through a little bit more, let's do a little bit more.
That's
let's
right.
do a little more. You know, there's a popular worship song out right now that says, you're a good, good father. It's
right.
who you are.
Right.
It's who you are. And the more experience you have with him, the more you start to trust him.
That's right. That's a big thing, trust. That's a big, big thing. You know, what does the Word of God tell us? He says, you know, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the flesh don't want it. That's what Christ is always telling us. You got to, what
die.
Does our pastor say?
Die, sucker, die.
Die, sucker. That's it.
Yeah.
Every day you have a desire to put this flesh to death. And man, I'm telling you something, it ain't meant to be comfortable. It ain't meant. But if we can be like James is talking about right here, count it all joy because you know what? It is worth it. Be joyful because you know it's conforming you to be more like your Savior.
Yeah.
You know, that's a growth in itself.
Yeah.
To desire that.
Yeah,
that's
just
growth.
To come to a
yes.
place that is so unnatural to a man's thinking.
Yes, right.
So when those type of thoughts pop up, you ought to give praise right there.
That's right.
You ought to worship right there because God is doing that in you.
And he's the only one that can make you desire that. So like you said, I would give, that's when you give praise. That in itself is growth.
Yeah.
That in itself is desire to be more like your Savior, more like his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that alone is praiseworthy. Amen.
Yeah, the one song says, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said, help will always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the enemy says, give in, you just hold on. My God will show up and he'll take you through the fire again.
Not around it.
Yeah.
Amen.
He'll take you through it.
That's right.
And you can have joy when you get to a place where the Holy Spirit starts to teach you that the outcome is greater than the struggle that you got to go through to get there.
That's right. You know, one scripture that I love concerning, you know, our struggles, and I don't want to chase a rabbit, but you know, a lot of people don't think that God would actually send them through a storm. And, you know, when, of course, I've spoken of this before, when Jesus fed the multitudes with the five loaves and two fish, and then afterwards he told the disciples, he said, I want you guys to get in this boat and I want you to go to the other side.
Yeah,
it would be absurd for us to not know that Jesus Christ did not know there was a storm ahead of them. He not only did he know it, but he put them in that boat and he sent them through that storm. God will send us through stuff. Why? Because it was in the midst of their storm that they had an opportunity to see that Jesus is the one who conquers, who the faith in, where their faith and trust needs to be in is in Jesus Christ. So he allowed them to see a miracle, then tested it. Then he tested. He sent them through the storm. Why? Because through that storm, it was growth, dependence on Jesus and Jesus
okay.
only.
So let me stay in that illustration. So the Bible says that deep into the night, they're still in the boat. The wind's blowing. The waves are rolling. And what are they doing? They're rowing against the waves. It wasn't 20 minutes later, an hour later. It wasn't even 3 or 4 hours later, deep into night, almost the sun is getting ready to dawn in a couple of hours. And these guys have been rowing and working. In other words, what I'm saying is they were being obedient to what Christ said. Christ said, go to the other side.
Oh.
The storm comes. And even though the storm was there, they didn't give up. They were rowing. They were pushing. They were trying to get to the other side. And because of their obedience, they look over. And what do they see? They see Jesus is walking to them on the water.
Wow.
See, in the middle of the storm.
See, I never seen it like that's good.
Well, the Lord, I guess he just gave me that. Somebody probably said it before me. But in the middle of the storm, their obedience was being evidenced. And the answer came in the form of Christ, like it always does.
Right.
Christ comes walking on the water, and he removes them from the struggle.
That's right.
In one of the books, I think it was John. John said the moment he got in the boat, they're on the other side.
Right? Yeah,
it's a weird night, Chuck. You know,
right.
It's a weird night. But in the midst of their struggle, and we're about done, so let's just conclude right here. The struggles come, the storms come, the wind blows. But if God has brought the storm and sent you, you better believe it. He's going to take you
absolutely
to the other side.
Absolutely. And it's all divinely set in place for a purpose. He don't do anything by chance.
Amen. So hey, truth seekers, don't stop rowing. He's going to walk to you on the water. Until next time, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.